Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
What's up, everybody? This is Dwayne Wade. Listen, everyone who's listening, who's taking time out of their days, thank you for listening to the Why podcast. I've been getting people from all around the world, everywhere that I go, been telling me that they're tuning in. So I thank you so much for tuning in. We have many more guests to come, but right now we have a little break in the Why podcast, but we're not going to leave you guys alone. We're going to make sure that you guys have some content. And I shoot another show called The Wind Down. I shoot this in my office with my good friend Bob Metellus that you guys hear in the Why podcast. We both sit and we have evergreen conversations about everything dealing with life, about dealing with fashion, about dealing with marriage, about dealing with fatherhood, just dealing with things in life that we all have to deal with. And so we put together some clips, some reels from The Wind Down. We hope you guys enjoy it. We will be back very soon with The Why podcast, but please enjoy this evergreen conversation on The Wind Down. And I can't wait till you guys see who our next guest is going to be on The Why podcast. Now let's start this podcast off. Can you hear me? Is that close enough?
As you've gotten older into this world, do you feel like, what was the biggest change you've noticed as you've gotten to that 40-year-old age now?
And physically.
So what was that physical change like as a man in the aspect of like just getting up? Just when you tell the 20-year-old person, when you turn 40, this is, look out for this shit.
Yeah, you don't believe it. Now, let's all the ones out. We got all the technology out here. You got all the things. But I think I've done it twice because as an athlete, I got older. Mm-hmm. And so I had to, when I take you baseline, all I need is one step and I'm taking off. Then it got to the point where I needed that one step and a half, then a two step, then I couldn't take off. And so I felt myself aging as an athlete, right? I know what that explosive leg feel like and how much closer I got to go.
Right.
And so now in life, I'm on this side of 40. I'm turning 42 and I feel it. Like I feel the, like, you're not, like I'm not immortal anymore. Like I feel human. Like, you know, it's like you watch a movie and they start bleeding. You're like, he now, yes. I feel human now.
Do you remember the day that happened? Or like, is there a moment that you can go back to and says, the fuck?
No, I can't. I don't remember. It just happened. Okay. I try to get out of a chair one day and it just occurred.
Ooh. That's me right now.
I try to get out of a chair and I was like, oh. Like, you know me, like, excuse me, microphone. You know, when you know, you pop up, hey, baby. Then you start getting older, baby. You're like... man,
That first step.
Right.
Yeah. So when I hit that level, like, then I started taking my body seriously. And so as a group, as men, like, you know what I'm saying, we all try to build this. Like, we're building a brotherhood that is pretty cool. And so even in that, like, I used to lift weights a lot because that's what, as an athlete, that's what we did. We lift weights a lot. Mm. And so even in that, I was like, all right, I need something different. And then my brother was doing yoga. Mm. Right. And I was like, dang, I don't want to do yoga. I don't want to do that. It's uncomfortable. It's hot. Like, he was doing hot yoga at 6 a.m. I don't want to do that. But I gave it a try. And in the midst of giving it a try, like, I felt gains over the course of doing yoga. Not just obviously physical gains, but I got mental gains. And so, like, it's just playing a different, you just got to learn how to play a different game with your body, you know? And, you know, I think the same effort that I put in as an athlete, wanting to be able to take those hits and be able to have that first step, I got to take those same initiatives in this life when it comes to my health. And for everybody out there who do not want to check themselves out, because we all are scared to see behind the curtain, I go get manis and pedis, I get facials, I do all the things, right? We go get massages, you get scrubs, you get haircuts, you get whatever your thing is, but you will not go check the inside of your body. And that's the engine of the car. Car don't run without the engine, baby. And so you gotta go check it. You gotta get an oil change, you gotta check the whole thing. Right. So I'm just on that journey of life where I'm like, oh, I wanna feel good as I get older, and I wanna do all the things I wanna be able to do, where it starts on the inside. So that journey is now.
I'm in that journey right now with you.
I gave so much to the game that when I got to that 15th season and Bob was there, you know, after we played Philly in the playoffs. And so I get traded back to Miami, you know, from the Cavs, and we end up getting in the playoffs and we play in Philly. And so game two, I had a great game. I had that game. I had that game that you want as an old dude that come off the bench. He, I'm a hero. You know what I mean? I had that. I was on the road. And then swap. And we was in game five. And the game was, and the series was almost over. And I was just dribbling the ball. And as I was dribbling the ball, I just remembered that my first NBA game was right here on this court. I played against Allen Iverson, Philadelphia, October 28th, 2003. And I was like, man, this to me feels poetic enough. I end it where I started it. I'm done. And so I went off into that mindset that I was done. And I feel like I gave everything to it. But as I talked about, someone always told me, when you feel like you're done, play one more year. And so a lot of things had to go right for me before I even decided to play that one more year. And a lot of conversations needed to happen. And so I felt like I gave everything to it. And that last year I did was really, it was no moment where I was like, no, I need to come back. No matter how well I thought I was playing, like, I was like, no, I want to go do something else. Like, I've mastered this as good as I can. Now it's time for me to go and try to build something and master something else, right? And so never, I don't have no ill will about none about the game, even the money that everybody's making. Even the, you know, like, for real, like, people think you're a hater because you didn't get that or that person got that. I've released it, all that hatred. If it's ever creeped in my body about what someone else have that I don't. So I'm cool with driving my little car in my little lane, and I'm at peace with that. But everything else, it's chaos. It's having a ball with 7 seconds left in the garden on the road, and you got to hit this game winner. And it's chaos. And as we talked about, how do you calm yourself down? How do you calm your nerves in a moment of chaos? And so when we talk about the game of basketball, people say, do you miss playing? No, I don't miss playing the game of basketball, but I miss those moments of chaos. I miss those moments where I can control my heart rate, where I control my mind, and I also control everybody in this arena, because y'all don't know what's about to happen. I miss those moments because I can't get those moments no matter where I go. Like, people celebrate me around the world, but I can't get the ball in the garden at the top of the key knowing I'm about to shoot this step back. You know what I'm saying? That's deep. How do you center yourself without making it all about you? That was what I wrote. How do you center yourself but not make it all about you? That's playing with LeBron James. You got to know how to center yourself, but you also got to know that you can't make it about you. You're not going to have the success that you want to have, that you crave, that you stay up every night for. And so the goal for me, and I put it on my vision board for 2024, is that, right? And how do I continue to understand that message, and how do I continue to do that? Like in everything that we're building as a family, that you're building in businesses, all these things, how do you center yourself and understand that me centering myself is exactly what is needed, is what everyone needs. But I ain't gonna make it all about me. How do you do that? Everybody can't do that, right? And so that's one of the journeys, and that's to go. And that's one of the hardest things to do, is to be the center of attention, but not make it about you.
That's real for
real. So I put that on my vision board. It's, you know, something that I want to continue to try to learn how to do. And I've done it before, but it's a constant journey in my life that it continues to show itself. And so this is my journey as a 41-year-old man, is how do I do that?
I'm still in that.
That's
his wine,
dude.
I'm still in that.
Oh, you like that?
I like that.
All right, don't put that on y'all t-shirts. I'm going to use that for my own brand.
I like that though, man.
Did I say, Bob, if the doctor told you how 1 week to live, how would you live it? Remember this conversation?
Yeah.
And I said, would you live it like you're living it today? If he said you have 1 week to live. And you said, no. So what are you waiting for?
Right.
What are we waiting for to live life the way that you will live it if Doc said you have 1 week to live? Because you might not even have that. So to go back and answer your question without getting so like dark and all that, it's like, that's real. Like, I live life that way. And anybody in the way of that, for me, you're in the way of my path, my journey in this life that I get to. And I don't know when my lives are up. Yeah. And so I got to get to it, because I know that it hasn't stopped, because big guy keep putting me in these different rooms, in these different places, in these different spaces. So that means it's more life. And so the eyes open, baby. Pew.
You're in the Hall of Fame, fam.
Yeah.
How does that... It's crazy because you and I always have a recap conversation a lot of times about being like just life. You're in the Hall of Fame. And you're in the Hall of Fame with a class that's highly regarded. Like, what does that feel like for you? Like, looking back, and you wake up every, like you said, you wake up and you look at life and say, you're just happy by life. But that was a part of your life, being in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that was a big part.
So what does that feel like when you look back? And this, every time we want to look back.
Man, it's the body of work. You know what I mean? Like anything that we do in life, if someone tells you that, you know, you let me take all your body of work and it's going to end up being in this exclusive club. And in basketball, the most exclusive club is the Hall of Fame. And so let me take your body of work and you're going to end up in the most exclusive club in the sport that you dreamed of playing. How does that supposed to feel? how do you feel that is what I'm saying. Like, I don't know how it feels to really be in the Hall of Fame. I say the words, I write the stuff down. But come on, my dude. This is the Hall of Fame. This is the Holy Grail. This is everything. Whoa. This is, you are one of the greatest to play this. You know how long this game been around? Yes. 75 years. I got a tattoo tomorrow. And now we ain't like, that was 75 years when I played. So now we're going into year, what, 80 of the NBA? Oh. That quick? So, yeah, it really means something. But I think as life go on, as my family grows, as I get to see what my kids accomplish and how I can, you know, be someone that can be there, you know, and help them, you know, in their way of accomplishing, I will see what Hall of Fame really feels like. I think right now I'm just like, it's so surreal right now that it don't make sense, even though I can say it and I can go back and watch the speech and I can remember being there.
Dope speech, by the way.
Thank you very much. I wrote that. I ain't in the business of writing nobody's speeches, but.
But now, also.
And I had some help, though.
I would say on my end, just watching how you had a chance to be up there with your dad and your son.
Oh, my dad. Can I give y'all a little?
Please.
So I was trying to come up with the idea to start my speech. Like, I waited till the last 3 months, and I was like, because it's like when I was in school, I waited till the last minute to do my work because I got it done. right? That's when you clock ticking, baby. So I waited till the last 3 months to start sitting down and putting together this Hall of Fame speech. And I remember on my birthday, I landed in Chicago from Paris. I had my birthday trip in Paris, and I landed in Chicago on my birthday. And it hit me then what my speech should be about. It should be about Chicago. It should be about the beginning, right? It should be about what started it all. And so then I started from there. I wrote down, okay, on this day, you know what I mean? Like, I wrote that down in my notes.
Right.
And then from there, I was like, well, who? So my dad. This doesn't happen without Dwayne Wade Sr. And so I based my speech around that. And if you see my speech, I started with my dad. I started acknowledging my dad and talking about how he introduced me to the game. And then I ended my speech with my dad. And I wanted to really, you know, this is my dad's dream, just like it's my dream, right? Like, we shared in this dream. Like,
right.
And so that moment, I thought, I was like, all right, how can, and so, and I started to say, I remember the day I was driving up to my home and it just clicked in my head. I was like, oh, I'm about to fuck my dad head up. I'm about to bring him on stage at the end of my speech. It just, I didn't even have no words. I knew what it was going to be about, and I knew what the ending was going to be. So this entire time, I'm sitting here, and I know that in 3 months, that his life is about to change. Because everything we went through in life, everything he put into this, that moment was so big for him, bro. That's his name going into the Hall of Fame. He started that. Yeah, he's the first Dwayne Wade. Oof. And so for me to be able to bring him on stage and walk into the Hall of Fame with him, and give him that acknowledgement and give men the acknowledgement that they deserve, because we do get left out of a lot of stories.
We do.
And it's not saying we're doing it to be in stories, but we do get left out a lot. And it's not saying that the ones that don't have the right to be in that story, like, okay, something happened. But the ones that are there, we get left out a lot of stories. Father's Day, we got to do better. Do you see these gifts? Anyway, just send your fathers on golf tournaments, everybody. Just stop buying gifts. Like, I hate to see when Father's Day come up on TV versus when Mother's Day. I'd be like, ain't this some? But for me, like, that was for the men. That was for us. And that's not a perfect relationship. That's a relationship that has been through a lot of shit. We've been through a lot. Mm. And so for all the fathers out there that's had hard relationships with their kids, tough to figure you out, to you too much like me, you too stuck, whatever you've had, that was a moment for all of us. That's a healing moment for my dad and I in front of the world, because we all, as men, we needed to, we want to hug our dad. Now you get to a point in life where nothing matters but the relationship with your parents, if they're still alive.
Right.
Or these moments that you can create with these people who are just like you.
Right.
And so for me, man, I just wanted to give my dad something that I knew that would be, you know, probably one of the most important things that I can do. No house I can buy, no car I can get him, nothing I can give him, but more than the acknowledgement in front of the world to say thank you. And the reason I'm sitting on this stage is because not only you put the ball in my hand, but you put these other things inside of me. And so, yeah, dog, that was a moment. Ooh. That was a moment. Wow. Shout out to the dads out there. Shout out to my pops, man. Wow, hell of a dad.
Facts.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. People don't always realize just how much their negative thoughts and experiences stick with them and weigh them down. You may find your brain constantly running through a highlight reel of bad moments. That comment your friend made last week that hurt your feelings. That frustrating thing your mom does. Or that silly thing you said in a meeting. Maybe it's time to get it all off your chest. Whether it's a tiny annoyance or something much bigger, talking about it can give you some relief and lead you to a potential solution. That's where therapy comes in. It's a safe space to share whatever's weighing you down and learn to process it so your internal highlight reel can focus on the good stuff. And BetterHelp offers affordable online therapy on a schedule that works for you. Connect with a licensed therapist by text, phone, or video call. Start the process in minutes and switch therapist anytime. Let it out with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Wade today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Wade.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
I'm gonna switch gears to, because you and Kobe had some battles, but y'all were close, but y'all had some battles. Like, you remember, I remember you told the story about when you broke his nose.
Yeah.
And
when I broke his nose in All-Star.
And he was like, yo, you like that shit. Like, but I've always had this thought or question, but the question has always been asked, like, can y'all be friends and still compete and go at each other? Like, you go at Cole breaking his nose, you playing against Chris, you playing against Braun, you playing against the guys that you have great relationships with.
Do you have great relationships with people in your same field?
I do.
And but you guys are friendly and you guys are also competitive.
Okay. I guess I see what you did there. You put it on me. I like that.
I put it on everybody who's listening.
I see that. I said, yeah, okay.
And so like, people like to make it because it's a game of basketball and, you know, these guys, like, I never understood that.
Okay.
I never understood why, like, and it was a rule before we got in the NBA, first of all, like, and Pat Riley was a part of this. Right. Not fraternizing with the other opponents because, you know, maybe it makes you look weak or softens you up, whatever the mentality is. And I respect it. And I understand it. Melo just actually told another story about when I couldn't talk to him because of that. And that's respect in the workplace, whatever the case may be. But out of the workplace, you have the relationships that you have on your own. That don't have nothing to do with the work. That don't have nothing to do with my job. And I want to be, and me want to be the best at my job. I'm going to take less shots when I play you. I'm going to not hit you as hard. Like, I grew up with brothers. You know who I competed hardest against? My brothers.
True. I get
my
that.
My dad.
Yeah.
Like, we go to blows.
Yeah. You got something to prove.
We got some. Yeah. And so, like, I want to have my best games against my friends. I want to hit all, like, you don't think I want to hit that game went over Brian my last game in LA? And that smart sucker, he knew what move I was going to do and he took it away from me.
I saw that. I remember that.
I was about to put that ball in that left hand and sidestep his ass and go for that game winner in the Staples Center's my last game. And he took that away. You don't think I wanted that moment?
Fair.
Yeah. So that whole notion, that's not real. That's somebody who's never been in the heat of the battle versus someone they love. I can love you, but it's not a movie where you like, let me let go because I want him to win. No, I'm not letting go of nothing. You got to take it from me. And that's the way we play versus each other. You got to take this, homeboy. And it's going to be love before the game. We're going to do our handshake. It's going to be love after the game. We stay overnight. We're going to go to dinner. We're going to hang out. Our family is going to say hi. No, man, that whole notion. And to me,
right,
it was never a real thing. And if anybody think it was, then just go to Robbins, Illinois and ask anybody who was a neighbor of my family's growing up. And they'll tell you how we went at each other. And that's blood. That's love. And we go at each other harder than anybody. The draft is the one thing that I try to watch if I can every year, because that moment right there, to that point in your life, that's everything that you work for. It's everything that you dreamed of. And that moment coming true is one of the greatest feelings that you can have. So it's probably one of the first times that life shows you that it's going to show up for you the way you want it to. You know what I mean? Right. Like you pray right. for it, you work hard for something, and eventually, you know, you get it in whatever capacity that, you know, the big right. guy bless you with. But that moment for me is the moment. So every time I watch the draft and I see these young kids and I see their families and I see them like they're crying and I know what's to come and I know what's coming. I know what that day feels like, what that moment feels like. And so I'm filled with so much joy for them.
Right.
Because, you know, for a lot of that's the best time of your NBA career, the moment you get drafted, because then the business takes over.
It ain't all chill no more at that point.
It ain't all roses up there, but it's still beautiful that you know that you get to live that dream out. And so that's the one thing that I probably try to watch every year when I get an opportunity, you know, just to see what these young kids like, where they're going, what they're going to say, what their parents going to say, what they're wearing.
Right.
You know, I remember the outfits being a big deal.
Right.
And I tell myself, I was like, the outfits are such a big deal in the draft that I'm going to wear an outfit and no one is ever going to want to talk about me because it's just going to be basic.
You wear the Macy's and got a suit? What you mean?
I was like, you know me. Like, I'm a, like, even though, like, I've grown and I've taken chances, because you know, as I've gotten older, but I've always been a person who was, you know, who had a little style and a little flair.
Oh.
And on the draft, look at my suit. Just look at my draft suit. Oh, ain't no style, ain't no flair. Nah, I ain't talking about the cut of it. I ain't talking about the make of it. So, you know, shout out to Willie Scott who made my draft suit. Black brother from Chicago. I remember it was a big deal for me. It was the first thing I ever got made. So shout out to Willie Scott. Okay. But I was like, Willie, I just want a blue suit. Something real easy.
I remember. I can see it.
Not nothing loud.
I can see it.
I was like, just real chill. And then Willie was like, I bought this blue shirt. But I'm like, cool. Whatever. Whatever. I just wanted to be... And then, I still, because of the draft class I was in as well, that comes up every year. That picture, and they always calling me a pastor.
Like a dude, like a deacon.
I do look like Deacon Wade on that
Deacon
joint.
Deacon Wade.
But I tried my hardest to stay out of that conversation. I was like, this is going to get it done. And I was like, afterwards, I was like, I probably should have worn a black suit. I got two suits made, blue and black.
Oh,
and I
man.
Chose the blue one because blue was my favorite color at the time.
Okay. Well, I ain't mad at that. Now, you know, you forever etched. You were the first pastor wave. All right. What are some of the toughest conversations you've ever had with loved ones and how did they take them?
Oof. I mean, listen. I've been a leader in my family for a very long time. And so I've had a lot of tough conversations with loved ones.
Oh, yeah.
Most of my conversations are tough conversations with loved ones. And it starts with no. You know how you take no? You don't know how to take it. Everyone wants yes. And so the toughest thing to do is to look your loved ones in the face and say no. Right? And because these are the people who, you know, those heartstrings get to, you know. And so... Yeah. Being in this position that I've been in my family where I've been, you know, kind of put in a position to be the leader of my family. I've had tough conversations with my dad where I had to tell my dad, and my dad say this all the time, that I told him that, my dad came to me with this old elaborate plan, how he wanted some money, and he came to me with this plan and I listened to it. And then afterwards, like, I think stone cold faced it. I was just like, bro, you got to go and work on yourself. You got to go rebuild yourself. Like, my dad was he was out of control.
Copy.
And when I was a kid, you don't say nothing. You can't say nothing. Right. But when I became the leader of the family and I became the one that everybody was like, hey, I need, well, this is how it's going to go. And so I remember telling my dad, really just seriously, like, yo, you got to go get yourself straight. You got to go start all the way over. Before you can come.
And what was that like, though?
It was tough. It was tough as hell. I remember my dad came. I was in Chicago. My dad came to my condo. We sat down and we ate. And, you know, he had all these ideas and things he wanted to do. But I wasn't in a place where I was just going to give him money because he wouldn't have known what to do with money at that time. Right. And so I had to, you know, in a sense, the reverse changed quickly. And I had to tell him what was hard for me to tell him. And at the time, my dad was, you know, he was into alcohol heavily, and he didn't handle it well when he would enjoy, you know, liquor. And so with that, he will become a whole different beast. We all know that we all know that way. And so I was just at the point where I was like, bro, you got to go. You need a form of help in some way for, you know, before you think you want to enjoy this life. And before I give you some money to go and just blow it, you need to go fix yourself.
Right.
Like, we all have these moments where we need to grow up.
Facts.
And I've been there, and I will continue. Like, I hope somebody keep telling me, go grow up, because so I can go do that, because I know you love me if you go tell me something like that. And so that was hard to have with my father. You know what I mean? And if you talk to my father today, he didn't like it, but he respects it, and he's thankful for it today, because of, you know, the place he is in life now. But I had to look him straight in the face and tell him to go, pretty much go grow up.
Wow.
Yeah, that was one. One. Many conversations with my loved ones. And the thing is, how people take it is this. They only take yes as great.
Wow.
People only take yes as great. Anything outside of a yes is not going to be taken greatly. Hmm. A maybe ain't even taken greatly. It leaves some hope. But nobody want a maybe. And no's are, how dare you? How dare you say no to me? That's how no's are taken. And so it's a tough place to be in, because it's going to be way more no's and way more maybes than yeses.
Hopefully, yeah, if you're watching it right. Now, do you remember, talk about when you became the leader of the family, and I'm sure that happened when you became the biggest breadwinner in the family.
Yeah. It was only bread. It was. My dad could have put his paws on me at any point.
But now, that's a lot of responsibility like that.
Yeah.
I was in college.
Out of nowhere. 21 years old, I went from broke to no responsibilities to having a kid, getting married, to being a leader of my entire family in 1 year.
The transition, like, and I know it wasn't, it couldn't, because you had to learn how to say no, obviously, because you're going to lose all your money if you don't.
Yeah.
Like, what's that like? Because you got, I'm sure, because you talked about your brothers earlier, you got sisters, you got everybody in your family. Like, what was that like, learning how to say no?
Well, I mean, I had to be taught. I had to be taken advantage of. I had to say no for the first time. Like, you got to do all these things. And my college coach, Coach Crean, that was something that he always talked to me about, was where I was going. You know, he knew that where my path was going. I didn't know that where I'm going, you're going to have to learn how to say no. These are the conversations that he sat down and had with me. And that's why I love Coach Crean. It wasn't just a coach and, you know, player relationship. Like, we sat down and we had man-to-man conversation. You're going to have to learn how to say no. You know how hard that's going to be? And so I was, you know, taught that, and why are you going to have to say no? And these are the reasons you do say no. Like, you just don't say no for no, no. You know what? All right, you want to do something? Well, here's the work you got to do. You do that work, come to me, and then we'll talk, right? Because everybody just want it right away. And so learning how to say no was something that I had to work at, because who wants to say no to people they love? Especially not me. I have a personality where I want everything to be fine. But I also had a personality where, like, I say no.
Right.
Like, I will. I don't want to. But I will.
Say less. I love it.
Know the Capricorn in me, baby. Know the Capricorn in me. Okay, this won't be the best no I've ever gotten, but it's the best no I could think about that I've ever gotten. So when I was in high school, Darius Miles just told this story on the OG show with UD and Mike Miller. When I was in high school, I played AAU basketball 1 year. It was my junior year. I played for the Illinois Warriors. And Darius Miles was the best player on our team. Darius Miles ended up coming out of high school, being drafted number 3 overall. But throughout that year, like, I was pretty damn good. If D Miles scored 30, I had 28 or 30 myself. Like, we were hooping, and I was hooping. And so it was getting time for Nike camp. And this is what all the players want to. You want to get invited to Nike camp. This is the biggest camp in the world at this time. Yeah, all the best players are going there. So we were one of the best teams. We were a Nike team. We had the best player. So, you know, obviously everyone got a chance to see us and scout us all the time. Now, not saying I was the second best player on the team, but I was pretty good. I was up there. And I remember getting ready for Nike camp, right? Thinking that I was going to Nike camp. I was told that, hey, we're going to get you a Nike camp. We just got to do some paperwork, but it's all good. And I remember the day that I was like, I had my bags ready to go to Nike camp. I'm waiting on my coach. If he was supposed to show up at 1, he showed up at like 4. I'm waiting hours for him. And he finally pulled up. And I walked out with my bags and I'm ready to go. And it's, I saw his head down and he was like, D, you ain't get invited to Nike camp. And I was just shocked. And I was like, well, who got invited from our team? About 7 other dudes from my team. Not 7 other dudes better than me, 7 other dudes. Now, they were good players, but like I was pretty good. And that crushed me. And that no that they gave me, I've never been the same player since that no. I've never been the same person since that no. Since I walked back in that house with my damn bags and I had to tuck my tail between my ass, I've never been the same person or player. And so for my career, that was the best no I ever got. So thank you, Nike, for not inviting me to Nike camp. I appreciate that because it really woke up that inner beast in me.
And, I see that.
And that's on the record. And then everyone who played against me knows that. And everyone who played with me know that. And so that was the best no I ever got.
Do you know why this? Why you was?
Now, I've heard multiple things. Don't matter.
Okay. You were Celeste because you know what I mean? The best no.
But I was 17 years old when that happened. About 21, I was the face of Converse, one of the Nike brands. I was the leading face of it 4 years later. I didn't get invited to Nike camp, but I'm leading one of the brands 4 years later. So for me, that was a little sweet when I walked around the Nike people like, yo, what's up? How y'all doing?
Oh, I love it. I love it.
I'm here.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
As a one who was considered a superstar in this league, when this league no longer at this moment because you don't play anymore, but you were a superstar. And
what time are you gonna say that? I know I'm retired, Bob.
Okay. So, but you have an authority on this matter.
Yes, yes. All right. Let's get to it.
So who are superstars now?
Well, it okay. Well,
what makes a superstar for you?
Great question. To me, it's more than one version of a superstar. Oh,
okay.
So you have basketball superstars, and then you have worldly superstars.
Okay.
So basketball superstars are guys who are multiple all-stars, year after year, book it. Okay, we can go down the line and book who the LeBrons, the Steph Currys, the Kevin Durant. Like, we can go down the line and book who are our superstars in the game of basketball, okay, right? And so you got all-star, you got star, you got superstar. Then you, let me not put Bron in, I'm sorry. Then you got above that, KD, and you got above that, right? But I say that to say they're superstars. Jason Tatum is a younger superstar. Anthony Edwards is a young superstar. Like, we have superstars in the game of basketball.
Right.
Now, when it comes to worldly conversations, to me, in the definition I got of what a superstar was we need to care about who you're dating. We need to care about what you're eating. We need to think about you when you're not on TV playing basketball. Mm. We need to care enough about you in that way. And that makes you a superstar. That makes you, to me, that makes you outside of the game of basketball to go from this. It's a lot of superstars in the game because they're very great players. How do you become a superstar in the world? People have to care about things besides how many points you're scoring. So to me, that's why I said, like, the game of basketball has superstars.
Correct. Okay.
Right. You have those elite stars that are superstars that if you own a platform like ESPN, you own TNT, you own all these platforms, they are going to continuously talk about you. James Harden is a superstar. Russell Westbrook is a superstar, and so forth and so on. We have superstars. And then it's other superstars. It's the culture, it's the pop culture superstars. It's the ones that you care about what they're doing when they're not playing a game of basketball, and not just when it's a negative story that comes out. Those is that's a whole nother level of superstardom that I feel that a lot of guys don't cross over into, some because they just won't cross over into it, and some don't want to. And sometimes it depends on who you're dating. Sometimes it depends on what invitations you get to certain events, right? Like, it continues to grow. And that's why, like, even though I'm retired, you can still call me a superstar because you still see me in these superstar lanes.
True.
And I'm not playing a game of basketball, right? I'm not calling myself a superstar. I'm just saying.
So did.
Someone can call me a superstar.
But you so did. But go ahead. I'll let you get that one. You're right. No. But you're right, though. You set it up. So I was right. Okay.
So, yeah, that's how I think about it.
But now, so the question is, I'm making that as the next question. The real question is, do you think there are any superstars in the NBA now?
The others think? Okay. That's a whole different.
Give me what you think. Because we're talking to you. Let me get what you think.
Yes.
I don't mean to put you on the spot, but go ahead.
Yes.
Okay. You want to name any of them?
No.
Okay.
Because I had to sit and really think about who I think. I mean, okay, I can name one.
Okay.
LeBron James is a superstar.
All right. Okay. So let's exclude LeBron and Steph. Because we know they are.
Like an example for me.
Give me one of the
Anthony Edwards is becoming a superstar. He's in the very early stages of it. He's maturing into a superstar. Not only at the same time, he's maturing to an NBA basketball superstar, and we're actually starting to care about Anthony Edwards away from the game. Mm. Right? The stuff that he's saying in his interviews, how he is, we're starting to care about him now. Right? You have a little bit, like, when he comes up, you ain't just looking for points. You're like, let me see what Anthony Edwards said. So now he's in them early stages of, like, okay, he's building this. Now it has to keep going. We have to continue to care about him the same way we care about what he does on the basketball court. We have to continue to care about what he does away from the game of basketball. That's how you build to be a global superstar.
Remember you mentioned that story back when Shaq got to the Heat. And he said he's going to teach you how to be a superstar.
Yeah, he did.
Like, what was that like for you?
He said, I'm going to make you a superstar. And then I'm going to teach you along the way, yeah.
So what was that like? Like, how did that, now, I'm going back to now, because you became one. Because how was that for you? Like, you coming in, you was second year in the league, you know, you had a great playoff run. And Shaq comes in and tells you he going to make you a superstar.
Uncomfortable. Anybody who know me before Shaq came around, you might have heard me say five words in a row. The most words I would say. I was very shy. I was very quiet. I always listen. to everything that's going on. I always observe things that's going on, but I didn't talk much. I didn't have superstar written on me. First, let's say that.
Right.
Shaq came in and he kind of walked me through how to be myself to be a superstar. Because I didn't know that people were actually like, I didn't know that people would care about anything about me outside of what I do on the basketball floor. But what I did on the floor had to be so loud that people had to start looking. So I had to take care of that first.
Right.
Pat Riley always say, keep the main thing the main thing. The main thing was I had to get to it on the floor. And then once I started getting to it on the floor and we started traveling, and it wasn't just 300,000 people outside for Shaq. And maybe 100 was for me. You know? Like, I started seeing, like, oh, wait, like, he gave me Flash. He gave me a character. He gave me something that people can buy into, right? He gave me that nickname. And so I had to live up to that. Like, it was a lot of things I had to also live up to. But he saw it in me.
Right.
I just didn't know how. And so the education that I got from Shaq was things that I used throughout my brands. Like, one of my favorite commercials that I ever done was the Converse commercial where I say, from Robbins, Illinois, 6'4" guard. That commercial was written off of my poem that I wrote to the game of basketball.
Right.
And what I got from Shaq around that time was to allow myself to be my own brand. Like, whatever you want to do, you do it. And you make sure that the people who are your partners or whatever, that they know what you want to do, and you make sure that they do that. And so when it came to that commercial, I remember they had set like 3 or 4 different spots in front of Lisa and I didn't like any one of them. And the meeting just kind of was like quiet, right? Like, think about it. They lied. They come up. They've been working. They like, here goes option one. And me and Lisa was like, here goes option 2, 3. And I didn't like none of them. And this was a big deal that this commercial, I was one of the top athletes. I had my own signature shoe. This commercial had to be a big commercial. And I lay, and then Lisa said, why don't you share your poem with them? And I was like, yeah. And I shared my poem with them because this is who I am. So I need y'all to get to know who I am and not me fall into what y'all trying to make me.
Right.
Right. Because superstar, if you're fake with it, everyone's going to know. So I think what he taught me is authenticity in building your stardom and open your mouth and let people in on who you are. We know you quiet and you ain't saying much, but we know it's something in there because you're not this good because you got something in there. So let it out. And so I started letting it out, not only on the court, I started letting it out in meetings. I started letting it out, baby. And Q Rich actually just talked about this on the OG podcast. Shout out to UD and Mike Miller for the OG show. He just talked about this on the OG show. He was like, he remembered when everything changed for me because D Miles and Q Rich, I've been knowing since I was 17 years old. So they know to quiet me. And then they found out the 22-year-old not quiet me. And Q Rich, it goes and explained the moment he realized that shit didn't change.
Ooh.
Right? And it was the Shaq, it was the Damon Jones era. It was the Heatles. We are the Heatles coming into town era. And a lot of that had to do with Shaq, for sure, the confidence that he put in me, but also the teaching of, watch me, I'm going to show you how this done. Bringing me to his commercials, making me a part of his commercials. There's a lot of things that big fella did behind the scenes a lot of people don't know. And I watched and he showed me how to be a superstar. And that's just being who you are. That's who Shaq is. He's just Shaq.
Yeah, that's right. I think as men in general, it's always been hard for us as men to talk about anything that's not tough.
Why?
Just think about it, at least for me, I remember I had a friend of mine, I told him, I said, I never talked to my, I remember my dad first, I can remember my dad hugged me for the first time. I remember, I was 17 years old, and I graduated, I got my diploma, and he gave me a hug, and I said, whoa.
Yeah, this is real.
Right.
This is real, yes.
And for me, like, it's so crazy because we grew so, our lives so different as we got older. But at that moment, I remember at 17 years old, my dad was trying to like give me a little hug. And mind you, I'm sure for him it was different because he never did it. And it was different for both of us. And I'm like, yo, this is kind of awkward. Okay, you hugging me. And I'm like, and think about it. I remember to this day when it happened. And I, you look at my kids now, I'm trying to be so opposite of that, but the process of going up through that, I remember growing as a kid, like, man, if I wanted something, I started crying. My dad, he's like, what you crying for?
Yeah, man up.
Like, what you doing?
Yeah.
And I'm like, so you can't cry.
Right.
And it was, oh, if you cry, you got to hide it. You got to like, and it's crazy how growing up as a young black man, as how much we had to kind of shield our emotions.
Yeah.
Like cover it. Like I need you to cover it. I need you to cover it. I need you to hide it. I need you to just, I just don't, I don't need to see it.
Well, a lot of circumstances is the reason we have to do that. Right. Like, right. You know, everyone is not in a position where they can just be freely facts. Expressive.
Right.
Because of the circumstances that your family has and have. And so I think one, we have to give grace to the generations before us as parents about their circumstances, which wouldn't allow, listen, I may want to hug you, but do you know what's on outside of that door? You, I'm sorry. Right. I can't even
give you that right.
Chance that you're going to be soft in any way. Cause I right. need you to be hard. I need you to be tough. And whether that's being chased by unleashed dogs in the neighborhood or being bullied or whatever it is,
right?
I need you to be tough and I need you to be tough minded. And so right. this is my way of teaching you how to be tough minded because this is what I learned. And so giving that grace to people before us. But now when you know and you have the opportunity to, that's where you and I come in at now because one, we know because we didn't like that.
Right.
But it helped build us, right? It helped build character in us. But also, too, we have the opportunity and our kids have the opportunity because of, you know, resources or finances and all these things to not have to have that, right? So I tell people all the time, and this is where I think my relationship with my kids flourish is because, and it flourishes. And I say this because my relationship with my mom and dad, no matter what we've all been through, it continues to flourish because it is a no judgment zone. And if you're not in a space where you're in a no judgment zone,
right,
you're never going to be fully who you want to be and who you are.
Facts.
If I feel any judgment coming from you.
Facts.
And that's why we have a lot of failed relationships. And I'm not just talking about, you know, marriages. I'm talking about relationships, 100%. Period, because they're not free judgment zones.
Right.
It's a lot of judgment in a lot of our relationships. And so I tell my mom and dad all the time, it's like, we could tell each other anything. We can go through anything and be there to support each other because ain't no judgment here. None. And a lot of people don't have that.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.